when something changes in our life, we have so-called fresh start effect. And for so many women, it is a baby entering their life. Either you want it or not, that's going to bring you a fresh start in many different ways. My today's guest, Chantel, for example, created her own community, the village we so often hear about. You know that saying, it takes a village to raise a kid. But what if your village stayed in a different country, or you just don't have it at all? Today's episode is all about transforming a passion into successful business, supporting women physically and emotionally, and the importance of having a strong support of a partner, and how it all plays such a key role in making not only your own world a better place, but also making an impact on someone else's life. This is a Non-Cool People podcast, and I'm your host, Kat. 3, 2, 1,
go! What I really admire in all people who see opportunity or are missing something in certain place, and they're like saying, okay, if there is no place like that, I will create it. So you created this, I don't even want to say a fitness group, it's more a community. You created your own village. You became a mom, and they say you have to have your village to raise a child.
It takes a village to raise a child. Yeah,
but there is no village when you are not with your people. So you are creating your own village, and you're creating a village for all those women who are coming to your sessions. So let's talk a little bit about it. What's the purpose now for it, and how did it all start?
When I became pregnant, I still tried to exercise as I regularly was before, and I started to really quickly notice that that was challenging. I didn't expect it. I thought, okay, I'm pretty fit, I'm strong, I'm healthy, which was a little bit of a blow to my ego, and I was surprised. I was like, okay, I'm a fitness trainer. Why is this challenging? And I actually realized I didn't know enough about the female body during pregnancy. I had known a lot about the anatomy of a woman who was not pregnant, so the general female anatomy of a woman, but not during pregnancy and postpartum. So just through curiosity, I started to look into that and found some certifications. And I was like, okay, well, I'm already certified as a women's fitness trainer and coach, so why not kind of continue this, even if just for my own education? So I started to do that in the last half of my pregnancy, and then continued that through after my son was born in 2020, and then that also opened up opened my eyes in a really big way, because then postpartum care was a challenge, something I hadn't expected. I had an unplanned C-section, and it was very challenging. You know, I'd imagined, okay, I'm fit, I'm going to just give birth the normal way, as they say, or the natural way, and I'll be able to get back after those 6 weeks, because I was naive and didn't understand what was going on inside my body, especially after a C-section. So I had a lot of tension around my incision. I had tailbone pain, weak pelvic floor and core, and I wasn't able to exercise as much as I wanted to. So that journey of getting back to where I wanted to be kind of was out of sight. So then that's when I started to dedicate my time to re-education and hundreds of hours of pelvic floor health and postpartum care and recovery, which is what brought me to then decide that I wanted to specialize in that and offer that to the community. So I first just started to look to see if I would be able to work for any company, any organization, any group as a fitness trainer. So I was looking, you know, I thought, okay, I'm on maternity leave. Let me do this kind of as something to, you know, fill my interests or my time and keep me motivated. But I wasn't able to find anywhere to even apply to. So I realized nothing really existed.
For women who
for
are
women.
Postpartum.
Yeah, so for postpartum care. And I was like really surprised, because I was looking just to work in that industry, not even create at that time. So I was really surprised, and I started asking around just in the community, like, hey, are you a part of a group, like a postpartum care group or exercise group? Do you know of any? And still no one would give me any information. There are a few Czech ones, and I'm sure they're wonderful, but as an expat and an English speaker, I wanted something in English. So then I really thought about it, and I was like, okay, I have this education, I have this passion, and I also have the need for it myself, right? I felt really alone and secluded, and I needed a community to just share my struggles with and to open up to and feel support from. So I was like, I'll create it. And I really just thought it was going to be like a group of moms who are going to meet in the park and exercise mm-hmm. and kind of just like no commitment, just, you know, something there. And then I realized very quickly as it blew up that there's such a need for it. So I decided to make it like my full-time kind of commitment and my full-time job.
So what makes this community special in your opinion and different maybe for any other community that mm-hmm. exists?
Well, mothers are very complex, very strong individuals. And I've learned that now throughout my journey as a within Mothergood. And because so many women are from different countries, different places as expats, this community, there are so many different points of view and knowledge to be shared and different ways to look at motherhood, right? So not only physically are all these women coming from different countries where, you know, they were doing different things before they became mothers. They had different experiences, women, before they were mothers. And now they're able to offer those talents and experiences as mothers. So I think that just the fact that not everybody is from one place, one mentality, it's kind of like a open, free, non-judgmental community because everybody's from different places with different values, different ideas of what motherhood is. There's not one. So for example, in the Czech Republic, you know, really wonderful place to live, but there's kind of one ideal of motherhood, mm-hmm. how you should, you know, enter motherhood or how, what your journey should look like. And that can be really constricting or restraining for a lot of women who are used to a different way of life or a different conception of like what motherhood should be. So it can be really stressful and traumatizing and frustrating because you're like, I can't fit into that or I don't know how to. But when you hear stories of other mothers who are struggling just like you are to fit into that, you know, box, it's really empowering and it gives a lot of like mental support. And then physically you see all these mothers show up from everywhere around the world, every part of Prague, just working to better themselves and to be a stronger version of themselves on like 2 hours of sleep. You know, it's really difficult to work out on normal circumstances, right? Like you just get up in the morning, like I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to exercise. That takes a lot of push and dedication. And then you add like as a mother caring for a baby, all those obstacles, lack of sleep, like all like feeling like you're very segregated and alone and the postpartum depression and the physical changes and to show up like for yourself to exercise. There's a lot of power in that. And I think that a lot of women or people in general don't realize like what it takes to really commit yourself to your journey to recovering.
To commit and to prioritize yourself.
Yeah, to show up for yourself. Yeah. I was like really impressed that a lot of women, like as soon as they come back from the hospital, they're like, I want to focus on getting back into shape. Not for any reason of like, I want to look amazing or fit in those jeans, but they realize how difficult it is, how caring for a little one is challenging if you physically don't feel well. And the best way to kind of help yourself is to start being active, whether that means going back to running, cycling, whatever your pre-baby activities were, or just basic exercises, right?
But it also that community we talked about a little before, this village mm-hmm. that is created, because what I felt, and I'm already 2 years mm-hmm. and something after giving birth, and yet I felt this welcoming atmosphere, which mm-hmm. you just described, and felt accepted, mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. wherever you come from, whatever your stories. And on the first session, and you probably have different types of sessions, because mm-hmm. after working out, we talked a little mm-hmm. and we listened to each other's stories. Mm-hmm. And we introduced ourselves, which is, for me, was unusual because mm-hmm. you go to gym and I did pole dance fitness and we mm-hmm. just come there. Okay, we knew each other. We also created some kind of community and we would go for a coffee later. Mm-hmm. But here you sit with those moms and they open up. They become vulnerable because mm-hmm. they share something probably that they need to get out mm-hmm. or somebody will probably understand me here.
Yeah.
Because those who are not experiencing this kind of experiences, they mm-hmm. cannot understand maybe so well what a mom goes through, what is happening in their mm-hmm. soul and in their side. So mm-hmm. it's more than just taking care of my physical body, it's taking care of my mental body, and my baby can be there for mm-hmm. me. It's just awesome. I was looking, my baby's a COVID baby just like yours, mm-hmm. And when she was born, there was no opportunity to even work out because it was as it was. So it was even making it harder and harder because you can go for one-on-one session with someone, but it's not the same. Yeah, you work out, but I was missing that, seeing other moms,
social connection,
talking to them, seeing how their babies are, what they are struggling with, because I felt very alone in that story. So this is what I really enjoy even now, 2 years later, and I kind of remember, wow, if I would have that, but with a good feeling, not like, oh, poor me, I didn't have that. These moms are lucky because they have this community and they have each other. They can talk, they can just maybe cry, whatever they need to do.
Yeah.
And it's called Mother Good. How did you come to this name?
Oh, I honestly don't know. I was brainstorming with my husband one day because I knew that I wanted to start the program and make it like a legit program, not just like me on Facebook advertising, come moms. I wanted it to become like a business, like a platform for mothers. And I really just started going back and forth with mom-related names and then searching ones that already existed, making sure that I wasn't going to take anything that already existed. One of them was Momwell. There was a bunch of them. And then I was like, motherhood. And then I was like, Mother Good. And then I kept saying it and I wasn't sure about it at first. My husband's like, no, I really like that. So then I just stuck with that. Yeah. So it was really just sitting on my couch with my husband, like in front of the TV, just talking back and forth about what could be a possible name. Cause I knew that it needed one. So.
And it really sticks.
Yeah.
Mother.
Thanks.
Good. It's a really cool name. I like it. You work with women for a year already, and you've created your own business. I want to talk a little about the business part as well. But first, you've seen some of these women for a year now. What is the biggest change in them that you've seen?
So I've had the pleasure of and the privilege of having some women commit to the program for a year, which is wonderful. So like it's two levels, physically and mentally. I've seen them grow as mothers. Of course, physically, they're stronger. You know, many of these moms come twice a week, and some of them had come three times a week from coming once, where they were barely able to do any of the exercises. And I could see they felt really timid and worried, like, okay, I'm not in shape. But then they really quickly realized that most of the women around them are in the same predicament, but aren't focusing on one another. They're focusing on themselves. The little ones are there. So that really helped with their confidence, right? So very quickly, I could see that they were showing up early, right? They were ready and eager, and they were trying new things that I could see that they were not really keen to try because it looked difficult. And they were, you know, every time I could see it was less and less challenging for them. And for me, that's a real privilege to see someone work hard because it's not easy. And I think that a lot of people who don't know the exercises that we do, they think it's probably easy, like very light, basic, but it's not. These exercises are quite challenging. You know, so
that's the reason I came back. After first session, I was like, I'm going to check it out. It might be okay, but I will just see it. And then I came home and I was like, God, I feel my body. I want it because I love this feeling when you feel you worked out and still you can do it safely. You can take care of yourself, but I'm always pushing my limits. I came home and like, yes, this is something I want to have at least once in a week for myself. And it was very cool.
But then that when you start that journey of like committing to yourself and showing up for yourself, it kind of cascades into every aspect of your life. So then you start walking, you want to get outside, you feel good, you start looking good, and it's this residual effect on your whole life, right? So you eat better, you're more social, right? Like a lot of things open up in your life. You start prioritizing yourself and not just your baby, which was one of my main goals in creating Mother Good. It's like you can do something for yourself while your baby's there, but it's for you and they can do their own thing, they can play. So really quickly, I just saw women really interested and eager to do something that I think they thought was going to be like a casual 1 week thing and it wasn't going to make much of a difference in their lives. And then I could see that they were, you know, really committed to it. And then also their support systems grew. So not just through me, but through the other moms that were there showing up, they made friends, right? So their social circles grew, their children's social circles grew. So they really came there, not just to work out, but also to meet people that they are fond of, like their friends, you know, after they would go for a coffee. So, you know, it was multi-level, like they're coming, showing up for themselves, but also able to to meet friends and meet other moms and gain support, both physically and mentally. So it was nice to see that a lot of these moms were getting so many of their needs met in one class, I would say. And I wasn't expecting that in the beginning. I wasn't expecting it to have such an impact on so many women, because I didn't understand the power of like adequate postpartum care and how much it makes a difference in a mother's life and how it can really change their whole journey. And I'm really grateful because they've done the same for me. You know, through this, I've seen the power of motherhood, and in that it's empowered me and like created a passion and fire for me, because now I dedicate myself to advocating for postpartum care, for raising awareness and the standard of postpartum care, and just being there for other mothers. And lots of these mothers have been there for me. You know, I'm also able to share my vulnerabilities in that space, even as the founder. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't see me as that. They also see me as a fellow mother. So I'm able to find refuge in motherhood as the creator, which is great. I'm thankful for that.
Through all your story, since the beginning till now, I feel a very strong why you do it. You, first of all, started doing it for yourself, but then for the community. And as you see these people, these women develop and grow, not just physically, they grow in all aspects in their life. You do even more than that. You find ways how to put a oil into this fire so they can create something else, friendships, confidence, believe in some, prioritizing themselves, caring of their kids maybe in a bit better way, because today I will be a better mom because I did something for myself. And I think this is I'm sure this is one of the most important aspects for creating a business. When you have a strong why, then business is successful. But also from your story, what I hear, this idea didn't come as idea for a business.
Right.
But it came as, first of all, seeking help for yourself.
A need. Yeah.
A need for yourself. And then it grew into a business. And that's why I think it's so successful, because it grew organically. So what is most important lesson you've learned by creating later on this business side of motherhood?
So what's the most important, like why it became a successful business, or what it taught me in creating?
Taught you maybe what made it successful as well. But I think we just talked about what made it successful. It's your strong why, and what do you tell me?
Okay. So, you know, being passionate about what I did and what I'm doing really helped me stay motivated to continue it, because it's just me, right? On all fronts of the business. And there were times when I was quite burnt out and like, you know, can I do this on my own? Is this going to be a long-term thing? What happens when I have another child, which now I'm facing? But being passionate about it and seeing the impact it has, because I think that a lot of people, they have businesses, right? There's so many different ways to create a business. But if you don't actually get the chance to see the impact, the positive impact it has on people, the way it changes lives, then you might not feel the need, the incessant need and drive to keep making it better and better and better and keep showing up for it. And when you put yourself into something like your blood, sweat and tears, it really thrives. Right. And people see that and they want to commit to something like that. They show up for that. They come back every month because they see you behind that. They see that you're putting effort into that. And I think that, you know, I feel the same when I go to a cafe and I see it's owned by, you know, a family, and you see how much passion they put into that. You're probably going to go back. It might not be the best food you've ever had, but that feeling that you have, that feeling of like compassion, friendliness, welcoming atmosphere, makes people return. When you just go to like, you know, a very big chain restaurant, you get an expensive dinner, you leave. Okay, it was good, but you might not return because you didn't feel that connection to the atmosphere, to the food, to the place of business. And I think that that's what I've learned, because a lot of people ask me, how did you do that as a mother? And how did you find the time? And I was like, I made the time because I wanted to. Like, it taught me so much. I educated myself as a mother, as a woman, through creating this. So it wasn't just a way to make money. That's never what it was. It was always about impacting and changing lives, and my own as well, like my personal growth.
Yeah, you nail it with the feeling part, because mm-hmm. we come back for a feeling mm-hmm. and experience. It's not always for, okay, how good I will look in 10 days mm-hmm. or whatever, but I feel great mm-hmm. and I feel accepted and I feel wonderful. And I feel those women are just like me, other moms, and mm-hmm. they are smiling and they are greeting you. And mm-hmm. it's just welcoming from the moment you enter until the moment you leave. And sometimes mm-hmm. you leave with another moms for playground and mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. It continues that feeling. So yeah, that's very powerful. And that's the success mm-hmm. for that. Mm-hmm. Not the end goal of, okay, now I need to create money. I don't know how that would work if you would have that as a goal. Probably it will worry you because you still have a passion. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I like how you explained it started with this passion. You did it for your need and then it grew in something mm-hmm. That sounds like a success story.
Hey, psst. Some backstage information for you here. This first part was recorded at Chantal's apartment. And I don't know what happened there, but my microphone just stopped working after these last words you've just heard. We had to connect online, so you might hear some difference in the sound. Thanks for staying with us.
We talked about your business. We talked about how much effort and time it takes and doing all the things around the business and being the only trainer at Mothergood, which I was surprised to get to know. Must be overwhelming sometimes, I guess.
Sometimes.
Just sometimes. Because there's also family, there is a kid, there is one more to come. And I can only say that you're amazing, Mama, that you must be so proud of yourself. In any kind of situation in life, we need support. But especially when we are running business or doing something on top of our daily kind of mom responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know who's your support, who's your strong wall that is there for you with encouragement, with just being there.
Mm-hmm. So definitely I'd have to say it's my husband, Hansa. From the very beginning, when I had the idea to just start Mothergood, before it was Mothergood, when it just was like a meetup in Rogrovi Sady, which is a park in Prague, with a bunch of moms, and he was encouraging me, you know, to just not have any expectations, just to enjoy it. And I was really nervous. And I was like, what if nobody comes? What if nobody shows up? And I'm embarrassed. And this is a, you know, a big failure. And he was like, no, it's going to be great. And he really made me feel supported and gave me some reassurance from the very beginning. Even though we both had no idea what Mothergood was going to become or what to expect from that, he just knew that it was something that I was interested in and that I was passionate about and I was excited about, especially after so many months of being on maternity leave. And as it started to pick up, and I'd said to him, you know, I really want to make this something that is going to be my main source of income. He always believed in me. He always thought that I could do it. He encouraged me to put all of my time and all of my effort into it, even though that meant that he had to step up, that he had to take on more responsibility, even though he had a full-time job. He was a husband, you know, a father, and he never once made me feel like, you know, my dreams or what I wanted to do with my life and Mothergood was not important. So I definitely can say with 100% assurity that where I am today or where Mothergood is today would not have been possible if he didn't support me or tell me in the moments when I was like, I'm so tired, I'm so exhausted, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can be a mom and run a business. Is this silly of me? You know, should I just enjoy my maternity leave? He definitely just said that this is an amazing thing that you're doing and you're going to change lives. So you should stick with it. And I'm here. I'll help you. So yeah, now looking back on that, if I didn't have that, I know that I probably wouldn't have continued. You can't really do something like this alone, I would say.
Absolutely. So Onza, if you're listening, thank you for being there.
Sometimes, you know, just following your passions and dreams, you don't stop to always appreciate the people that kind of made it possible in the background that people don't see. They just see me. They don't see that I have a supportive husband and friends and family members that are always encouraging me and telling me, like, this is such a great thing. Good for you.
you know, keep going. We can't believe that you're able to do this as a mom. So that encouragement is so important because, you know, it's great to have that encouragement from like the moms in my group, but from like your friends and your family and your loved ones to actually take the time to like acknowledge your efforts really makes it even more worth it.
That is so, so true. And I think this is also a great reminder for everyone who is listening, just to stop for a minute and appreciate those things and people who are around us that are helping us to succeed.
Yeah.
Those invisible forces.
Mm-hmm.
And to let those people know, hey, maybe I don't say it enough, but really thank you.
Say thank you to your loved ones for all theirs and help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chantel, and in your opinion, what's the definition of a cool person?
Oh, that's a difficult question. But to me personally, like for someone that I would consider cool or someone that I would say I more admire or look up to, would just be anyone who's kind of following their dream and taking the time to just go after something that they really want, something that they desire, aside from their regular duties as a mom, you know, outside of their work responsibilities and following their passions. So you always see people have a richer life, where they're more satisfied and happier when they are fulfilled by doing something in their lives that brings them joy. Whenever I see people doing that, I'm always like, oh, I wish I could do that. And then I actually did it eventually. So I can say that it's brought me a lot of fulfillment and drive and happiness in all aspects of my life, just actually taking that leap and doing something, even though it's scared the shit out of me at one point. I did it and I'm so grateful. So when I see that in other people, I'm really drawn to that and they inspire me, I'd say.
100%. When we are feeling fulfilled, we are happier and it also mm-hmm. brings value to other people, right? Because
yeah.
we are nicer, we are kinder, we are happier.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know whom you can inspire with your mm-hmm. actions as somebody mm-hmm. inspiring you or somebody inspiring me. And I find you very inspirational. Every time I see you jumping and doing all those stuff with the belly, I'm like, you cannot give up. You have to do this. So thank you very much for that. And thank you for being on a Non-Cool People podcast.
Hi, it was lovely being here. Thank you.
To have your village, you don't have to be a mom. The village, metaphorically speaking, can be the closest circle of your kind of people. And it's just so important to have it supportive and loving circle. Well, I'm going to tell my people how much I appreciate and love them. And you, if you enjoy this podcast and you would like to hear more, please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And I see you next episode.